Ephesians chapter 6. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the pew right in front of you there. And we're going to continue talking about the whole armor of God. And you say, but we've gone through all the pieces of the armor. Yes, we have. But there is more to talk about this particular subject as we continue. So if you found your place in Ephesians chapter 6, would you please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able? We're going to begin in verse 10. I would like for you to read out loud with me on the even verses. I will read the odd verses by myself. So we'll kind of go back and forth. But we'll begin all together in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, reading together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It is a joy again to be here, and thank you so much. Friend Day really means a lot to our folks, and a lot goes into preparing and getting things ready for Friend Day, but we do want you to enjoy yourselves today. But first, a long, windy, boring message from the pastor. So we'll start Friend Day about 1 o'clock. It's 11:23. No, I'm just kidding. But again, I do like to tease. I don't know. I think church should be a place of joy, a place of blessing. I don't think anyone should dread coming to church. And I really hate it when people say, negatively speaking, yeah, when I was a kid, I was drugged. What? Yeah, I was drugged to church Sunday morning, drugged to church Sunday night, drugged to church Wednesday night. It shouldn't be like that. I love that God put the Spirit in my kids and in our family. I've been in the ministry for 17 years now. And my children still to this day, they're looking for church. I mean, we're driving to church and, hi there. That microphone didn't want to be on that stand. We're driving to church and down the road, they're seeing who can see the church first. And this thing. And then when they see that, I saw church. You know, I'm glad that they're glad to be here. And it's good to come to the house of the Lord. And I hope you feel that way as well. Well, here we are. We have gone through the wiles of the devil. We have gone through those invisible or unseen powers that are working all about us. We've seen the difficulties. We've seen the things in life that we need to pay attention to and watch out for. Because, listen, this is not just a cupcake life. There is a battle that's being fought. There is a war that's being waged. And we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is an unseen world out there. There are angels and principalities and powers. There are spiritual things going on that we know not of. But we need to be aware of what's happening around us. It is a fight day after day after day. And we need to be ready. We've talked about how we've been admonished to put on this whole armor of God. And in verse 13, Paul even says, not only put it on, but take it unto you. He said, get it on, get it close, make sure it's with you everywhere you go, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. When I think of withstanding, I think of an opposing force. Okay? I mean, if I'm just going to stand, I'm good, right? But I want you to go out here and get into the brunt of this wind and just stand. Okay? No, you're going to have to maybe withstand. To me, withstand gives a connotation of putting forth a little bit of forward pressure so that you can sustain when that opposing force comes against you. Because let me tell you, dear child of God, it's not if the devil's going to attack, it's when. Okay, this is not a maybe he will, maybe he won't. He will in due time, who knows when and where and why and how. But we're supposed to stand. And then Paul admonishes the Christians and says simply, and having done all to stand. So what is really doing all? Well, it's putting on the whole armor of God, right? It's taking unto you the whole armor of God. And so he says, okay, we're going to stand. We're going to withstand. There's these principalities, these powers, these unseen enemies. There's the devil that we have to deal with and his devices and his wiles. So it's a mounting thing that this is getting to the point where what are we going to do? Well, let's just do what it says. Let's withstand with the whole armor of God. So we talked about all of that, and you say, no, we haven't. I haven't heard that. It's on Facebook. Go back and look at the archives on Sunday mornings, and you can see the things that I've said before. It won't take you that long, just about a month or two to go through those sermons. It won't. Now, we have these things given to us beginning in verse 14. Stand, therefore, having. We talked about that word having. It means it's already in our possession. Having your loins girt about with truth. This right here. Folks, we need this more than anything in this day and time. We've got to stay true to the Word of God. It is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. God has given us His truth. Have your loins girt about with truth. This critical part of the body for the soldier. The loin area. We just can't go into all the physical and medical things talking about the loins and the loin area. But can I tell you something? It's important to the soldier. For health, mobility, and for strength. Your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Can I tell you something? All the things behind the breastplate you need. Heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, intestines. Okay, hunters, what do we call this? Kill zone. I mean, come on, right? Yeah, if you want to take out an animal, that's what you're going to do. What do you think the devil's going to do? Yeah, he's going to go after you. So we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what? It's not our righteousness. It's His righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Because our righteousness can't withstand the fiery darts. But Jesus' righteousness certainly can. It's more than adequate. Then he says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mentioned it before, and again, this is just in review. But it doesn't say that we're putting on the gospel on our feet. No, it's the preparation of the gospel is what we're putting on. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the gospel. We need to have it in us. It needs to be a part of us. We need to prepare. We need to know how to give an answer to any man that asketh of the hope that's within us. We have the preparation of the gospel. These are all things that we have. That we possess. He says, having these things. And then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Grabbing hold of that faith. You know, we all have faith of some sort, right? Great or small. Just like a soldier over time, if you look at the history of civilizations, some had small shields, some had larger shields, right? They had different purposes. And one of the disciples asked, Lord, increase our faith. You know what I want? I want a big old shield. Maybe one as big as this pulpit, right? Big shield. What's that good for? Quenching all the fiery darts. So we need to make sure that we are taking hold of the shield of faith. He says also in verse 17, to take the helmet of salvation. More protection. We need to take hold of that and make sure we put it on to be able to stand and withstand. And then they give us an offensive piece. We talked about that last week. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You understand, folks, that we're not just supposed to stand and withstand. We're supposed to actually move forward. We're supposed to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be swinging the sword. We're supposed to be getting God's Word out there, cutting deep into the hearts of mankind. Not to harm them, not to hurt them, but to set them free from the bondage of sin that they're under. I love this. You say, okay, Pastor, Paul said to put on the whole armor of God. Paul said to take unto you the whole armor of God. And now we're done. We've talked about the different pieces of the armor and all the defensive qualities and even the offensive qualities that are to help the soldier to stand and to withstand. We're finished. You can preach about something else now. I don't know about you, but I do know a little bit about English. And after that particular phrase, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, there is not a period. There is a colon. Guess what? He's not done. So we're not either. So I've got about, 22 minutes here to talk to you about this very special thing. That's really part of the armor, but also not part of the armor. It's not something we put on. It's not something we take hold of. It's not something we wield necessarily to thwart the enemy or to make progress in the battle on a physical plane or even a spiritual plane, as far as this is not something we actually maneuver with our lives that we're living in. But rather it's a very peculiar and spiritual weapon. It's that of prayer. Prayer. I do love our beloved Air Force. Hallelujah. Amen? Yes. Some of you don't know the inside joke there. I'm a Navy guy, okay? I was in the Navy for 4 years. So we like to tease back and forth with our Army brethren, our Marine Corps brethren, and our Air Force, Force brethren. Excuse me? That slips out every once in a while. But you know what? You know what prayer is kind of like? It's kind of like having the Air Force on your side. That air support to come in and to break down strongholds before you even get to the place to where you're attacking them. You know what? We need this thing of prayer in our lives more than ever. The battle's hard enough to fight on our own, is it not? We need some support to go along with it. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Hold on, that's not enough. You say, yeah, I pray and I pray and I pray, but it just seems like my prayers are just kind of going up to the ceiling and just kind of falling down like little sprinkles. You know, just it doesn't really, doesn't seem to be accomplishing anything. Did you notice what he said? He said, not praying always with all prayer and supplication, period. But he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Capital S. The same capital S Spirit as is given to us in the verse before, the capital S Spirit, which is the sword of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three that bear record in heaven. And these three are one. We believe in a triune God. And you know what? Each one they're all God. But you know what they are? They have offices. God the Holy Spirit is the one that's within us. Those of us who are saved. Those of us who are believers. He indwells us. And He's there to guide us, to comfort us, to bring all things into remembrance, to fill us with His Spirit and His power to accomplish the work. We have the ability to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You understand that we need to be full of the Spirit of God. We need to be empowered by God. Not of our own flesh, not of our own might, but in the power and might of Almighty God. The Bible says in First Chronicles, it says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye all of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually." You know what we're supposed to be doing as we move forward in the battle? As we've having done all to stand and having done all to withstand in the evil day. Our focus does not need to be on the enemy. Our focus needs to be on the Lord. Our focus doesn't need to be on how strong am I. We need to have the focus of how strong is God in me. This is a critical element. We're supposed to be praying always with all prayer and supplication. We're supposed to be seeking His face. We're supposed to be seeking His guidance. And we're supposed to be deferring to His power instead of our own. Having put on the whole armor of Eric. No, it's not the whole armor of Eric. It's not the whole armor of Robert. It's not the whole armor of Richard. It's the whole armor of God. Therefore, it doesn't need to be powered by Eric. And it doesn't need to be powered by Ron. And it doesn't need to be powered by Joel. It doesn't need to be powered by us. It needs to be powered by God. You understand that we're supposed to continue in prayer. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to be communing with God at all times. You know, you don't have to just get alone and kneel down and not have any other people talking to you to pray. Now, that's a good opportunity. But obviously, we can't live our lives like that, can we? Then we might as well just go to some monastery somewhere and put our hands in our sleeves and walk around the hallways praying continually, right? I don't think that's what God wants for us. But can we be in a spirit of prayer? Can we commune with God throughout the day? Throughout the course of a job? Throughout the things of our everyday life? Absolutely we can. Hey, if you're driving down the road, don't close your eyes and pray to God. Because you might be seeing Him face to face very quickly. Okay, I mean, you can pray with your eyes open, right? You can do those things. But the point is, whom are you seeking? Where are you looking to? And we ought to be looking to God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication for all saints. But it's in the Spirit. God wants us to pray and to be a part of prayer at all times. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Hey, you know what that says? Does it say in the major things of life, when in life's critical decisions? Does it say just whenever I'm in trouble, whenever there's nothing else that I can physically do or where, with any kind of material wherewithal that I have, then pray to God. Oh, I just have, you're going to laugh at me, and maybe it's a silly illustration, okay? But you're at the restaurant, and you're deciding what to eat. For me, that takes a while. Because I want everything on the menu, you know, and I don't know which one to order. Has anybody ever thought to pray and ask God, what should I eat today? You say, no, that's silly. Is it? He says here, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God, I can't decide between the chicken or the steak. Okay, steak. All right. That solves that one. I'm always going to pick the steak. Okay, this is kind of me. But, you know, I think we give too little credit to where credit is due. And we say, okay, well, I've got this job opportunity. Or I've got this thing going on in my life. And here's all the numbers. Here's all the pros and cons. We've sorted it all out. Okay, we're going to choose this one. Well, this vehicle, this car, this house, or this thing, or this purchase, or this decision in our family, we got this. God's given us a mind. He's given us the wherewithal. I've got a college education. I can take care of this. We don't need to bother God with the details. You know what this verse says? It says, bother God with the details. You see, but God doesn't care what kind of car I drive. Well, maybe he doesn't, but I'm sure he wants you to have one you can afford. Keying in on the last part of that phrase is always a good thing. I like to jab. You notice my little jabs, okay? All right. Now, he says, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, folks, this is what keeps us sane. This is what keeps us on the right path, is seeking His face, is going to God in prayer for these things, even the little things. We say, well, we don't need God for that. Don't start down that path. That's a dangerous path. We need God for everything in our lives. If we're going to make this armor work, prayer is so key to the standing and withstanding in the evil day. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I read to you, or quoted to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about praying without ceasing. But there's more to it than that. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You know what that is? It's all encompassing. It says, hey, you put on the whole armor of God, and you've included prayer and the Spirit of God in your life. Now you can withstand in the evil day. Now you can go forward in the battle. Now you can accomplish that a good soldier should accomplish. In 1 Timothy, Paul tells his son in the faith, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, first of all, again, let me go back to what I said before. Not the last resort, but the first one. We need to pray. It needs to be the first thing we tend to, not the last thing we tend to. Over in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 44, we actually see where the Lord goes up in a time of difficulty and wants to pray. Now, this is not the first time or only time that Christ prayed. This just happens to be a heavy time, a difficult time, before his crucifixion, that he goes to pray. It's an important time. But we know that this is something he did aforetime. This is something Christ did continually. So he did set a good example for us. But over in Matthew 26 and verse 36, it simply says this. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He says, guys, be my support group here. Be my prayer warriors for me. Watch with me. Be carefully observing. He said, hey, this is an integral part in history here. We have something that's happening that has not happened before, where God himself is giving him a sacrifice for sin. He says, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, doesn't that just so adequately illustrate having on the whole armor of God, but not having prayer in your life? What happened to Peter later on that evening? He had an opportunity hours earlier to pray, to be strengthened, to maybe overcome. He decided to sleep. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, he said not only prayer and supplication in the spirit, but he said watching. We're supposed to walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Looking out. How do we do that? Through the eyes of prayer. You know, through prayer, we can see things that we normally couldn't see. We can be in tune with the Spirit of God. He helps us to see what we cannot see, to overcome things that we cannot overcome on our own. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Wait. We're not done. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went his way again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You see, folks, God wants us to pray. Pray always. In the Spirit. He wants us to watch and pray. In Luke 12, Jesus said, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. If he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch,
and find them so, blessed are those servants. You know what God says? You want to be blessed? Then watch. Watch. Be ready. Watch and pray. He says we're supposed to be praying always, and we're supposed to be watching thereunto. He adds another word here, with all perseverance. Persistence. Not going to quit. Not going to stop. Not going to get discouraged. Hey, can you think of a better way to withstand and to stand, and having done all to stand, than to persevere? And to persevere in prayer? You say, but I've been praying for years. Listen, I had a friend. Well, I still have a friend. He's still my friend. Hallelujah. He's a pastor down in Alvarado. I have a friend. He prayed for his parents to be saved for years. I think about maybe 14, 15 years after he started praying for his parents, his dad got saved. Almost 20 years for his mom to get saved. I got to be a part of about 12 or 13 of those years of prayer with him. Every week, every staff meeting, every prayer time. Hey, we all pray for my mom to be saved. I remember when his dad got saved. And I remember getting a text when his mom got saved. Hallelujah. You know what that is? Persevering. It's not quitting. You say, that's a long time to pray for something. So? Was it worth it? Yeah. You ask that man if it was worth it. He'll say, yes, every single moment spent in prayer was worth it all. Because God answered that prayer. We don't know when God's going to answer. We don't know how God's going to answer. That doesn't stop us from praying. That shouldn't stop us from praying. Keep praying. Remember what David did. David was told after his sin with Bathsheba that the child was going to die. That was a judgment that God said was going to be pronounced. What did David do? He fasted and prayed just to see if God would choose to be merciful. And when he heard on the outskirts there that the child had passed, he asked them, is it done? They said, yes. He got up, washed himself. And then his servants were confused. They said, well, Dave, what are you doing? He goes, I didn't know if God was going to choose to be merciful or not. So I just prayed. I just got on my knees and I just sought the Lord. Folks, we don't know what he's going to choose to do. But we need to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we need to watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I think too many times we use prayer as this little token here instead of making it our all-encompassing power here. It ought to be part of every fiber of our life. It ought to kind of make up this cool force field around the soldier, you know? Are y'all into? No, okay. That's what prayer should be. And it ought to just be incorporated with everything that we do. But I think we just kind of leave it on the side and it's this little token that, well, if I really, I don't want to use that. Okay, fine. I'll pray. But instead, it's just interwoven into every part of our life. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, we've got this wonderful little thingy here. Where'd it go? Come here, you. We got missionaries on here. Guess what they need? Prayer. We got our church members on here. Guess what they need? Prayer. This really is not just a birthday list for who to send money to at certain times of the month. Of course, I'm sure they would appreciate that. Especially all these late October and early November birthday people. I'm giving y'all a plug here. You should be thankful for that. No, this is not for that. It's good to be remembered on your birthday. Everybody, most people like that, unless you're getting older. I'm getting younger. I'm not getting older. I decided to just, you know, hit a certain age and then go back down there the other way. You know what this is for? So we can pray for one another. No, not just on their birthday. I'm going to pray for you once a year. Thanks. Folks, we need prayer. It's also important. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul again charges Timothy and says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what Paul was? He was a persevering Christian. Folks, until this preacher takes his last breath, I hope that I stay in the battle for the Lord every single moment. And I hope you feel the same way. Can I tell you something? God's worth it. The salvation paid for you by Jesus Christ, it's worth it. It's worth fighting for. Guess what? We got the better end of the deal. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I don't have time this morning to go into supplication, but supplication is just a really heartfelt, involved begging of God. God, will you do something? Will you do something? Listen, I guess it's supposed to be this way, but folks, I want to see the work of God continue here in this place. And I beg God to allow us to grow. And allow us to reach people with the gospel. God, would you just let it be so? Would you help these dear... We've had some of our dear folks going through difficult things. We ought to just get on our knees and just say, God, would you please do something in these people's lives? But we don't quit. We need to continue. We need to pray. In James chapter 5, the Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's the kind of church we need to be. A praying church. A caring church. A supplicating church. This is a very critical element of the whole armor of God. We need to pray always. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to take unto us the whole armor of God. We need to stand and withstand. But we need to do it encompassed with prayer. Interwoven with prayer. Intertwined by prayer. It has to be part of our lives. It has to be in us. It has to be through us that the Holy Spirit of God can work in our lives through prayer. I hope this has been a blessing to you. You say, are we done talking about Ephesians chapter 6? No, we're not. There's one more thing that we need to discuss. But it'll have to stay for next week. Okay? We do thank you so much for being here.